Turn to Psalm chapter, or Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46. Always have loved the Psalms. Psalm 46, one verse stands out for us today. This is not one of David's, but it's good enough to be. Amen? The same Spirit of God is the author. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. God is, folks. God is. Franklin Graham had a piece on Facebook talking about two young women got in a sailboat, filled it full of supplies. They had a little machine that would take and make the salt water, fresh water, so they could drink it while they were on their, they thought, 5 or 6 week journey out in the ocean. They took their two dogs with them on this sailboat. They were going to go to some little island somewhere or another that was going to take them several months to get there, they thought. But someone said, hey, just in case you have problems, take some extra food with you. So they did. So they got out at sea. And after a while, several weeks, something happened to the sailboat. And they were not able to control it anymore. And they just began to drift and drift. And drift. A month went by. 2 months went by. 3 months went by. They had flares. They sent them up. Nobody saw them. They had two cell phones, but one fell in the ocean. Wouldn't have done no good anyway. 4 months went by. They seen boats way off, but nobody saw them. 5 months went by. Finally, about 5.5 months, some boat spotted them out there. And they called for help to come rescue them. Two young girls. They were pulled aboard. Oh, of course, they were quite happy. And in all that ordeal out there on the ocean, with two dogs helping eat up their food they had, there was no mention of God. No praying. They were rescued. They mentioned no God. Happy. Finally got home, reunited with their friends. Glad to be rescued, begin planning another trip. We just like to sail, and if we die sailing, we'll die happy. Is that the way people are thinking today? Yeah. This is the world we're in today, folks. That's the reason the church seats are like they are. People don't fear God. People don't need God, they think. Today and the next Sunday, my plan is to talk about how to know God. Do you really know God? Really? We wanted to talk about that. I've been thinking about that for some time. So we're just going to talk on part of it this week, and next week is really when I want the zero. Knowing God. How to know God. The atheists do not believe there is a God, but the Bible says the fool has said there's no God. Creation itself tells you there's a God, folks. Things didn't just happen. It would take a moron to think things did just happened. They didn't just happen. Then there are those who wonder, is there a God or a supreme being? We got a lot of educated people like that today. They follow the Origin of Species book by that guy. I forgot what his name is off the top of my head now. Charles Darwin. It just come back. So our question today is there a God? Do you really believe there's a God, a supreme being, a maker of this world? You believe that? Yes, there is, and furthermore, one can know him. Did you know you can really know God? I'm not talking about know about him. I'm talking about know God. We got a lot of people in church, I believe. Not just here, but I'm talking about church, the church. Their names is on the roll. But I wonder, do they really know God? I believe if you know God, it'll change your life. That's what I think, what I believe. Yes, there is those that know God, and there are those that wonder, is there a God? In fact, the Bible has this clear statement for us in Jeremiah 29:13. If you want to look it up, I hope you've already marked this verse, because it already should have been marked in every Bible. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. The Lord says, and ye shall seek me. You got to seek him. And find me. When you search for me with all your heart. You're not going to find God just walking down the highway, folks, in a lapidazzle manner. You have to seek to know God. You got to put some effort into really knowing God. It's what our thoughts is going to be about this week and next week. We're talking about more than a belief there in a God. We're talking about getting to know God. And that's what's needed in the church of Jesus Christ today. In Isaiah 45:22, look unto me, God says. Look to me and be saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. There's only one God, the true God. And this true God that made everything, that is your maker, my maker, he says, you can know me, but you must seek me with all your heart. You got to put all your heart into it. Job said long ago, after his encounter with God, in Job 42:5-6, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. At the beginning of Job's experience with God, when he had lost everything, he was a very righteous man, a lover of God. But after 1 year of what he went through, Job found out in the end who God really was. That's when he really got to know God. His troubles, his hardships drove him to know God. And that's what troubles can do. But you got to allow it to do it. Your troubles, your hardship, your difficulties, your problems are designed by God to help you to be driven to know God, to really know God. And if you're someone that's going along in life and you're not having too many problems, you're not going to seek to know God too much. How many testimonies do we hear of people who get down to the very bottom of the barrel before they finally discover God? Am I right? Your troubles are designed to drive us to our knees so we can really get to know God. But too many people can still be drove to their knees and refuse. Still refuse. Just like these two young women I've been talking about. Did you know why they were out on that little sailboat? Sometime after several months out there drifting, a whole school, I guess you would call it, of shark come up, begin to follow them. I guess they thought, we got us a free meal here. And one of them began to ram it. And they were afraid he was going to break their little sailboat. And they wondered every night, would they be killed? Would they wake up the next morning? But it didn't drive them to their knees, brother. What are we studying, those of us that go to prayer meeting? What are we finding in prayer meeting in the tribulation time about people? That no matter how bad it gets, they refuse to call on God. They refuse to repent. That's what sin has did to the human heart. I'm not going to repent. We're talking today about how to know God. I'm talking about really know God. I'm here today. I got saved when I was 14. I believed in the Lord. I believe the Lord saved me. I know the Lord saved me. But I didn't really get to know God for years. Till my boat got shook. But I got to know God. And it's been on my mind a long time about preaching this kind of a sermon to you folks. And it's not that I'm better than y'all are, more spiritual than you are, or anything. I'm not even suggesting anything like that. But I'm going to tell you this for you to pass it on to somebody else. You can know God. And he wants you to know him. If I didn't know God, I'd a long time been gone from this place. Because I've hurt too much. I've been disappointed too much. Do you understand what this verse just said? Are you having problem understanding English, these verses I'm reading to you from the Bible? These verses mean what they say. There is a God and you can know him. Even Jesus said, listen to what Jesus Christ himself said. He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." Get this last statement. If you're obeying God, if you're living by the word, I will manifest myself to him. You can get to know God more than just believing. God can begin to manifest himself in your lives in ways that will shock you. And I'm not just talking about getting prayers answered. I'm talking about encountering the living God in your life. Because he's God. But we got to live like Jesus said. You got his commandments right there in your lap this morning. How many of y'all got a Bible this morning? You got a Bible? You got his commandments. He that hath my commandments and what? What did he say? Keepeth them. Do you live with a Bible? You got to live with a Bible, brother, sisters. There ain't no shortcut. In order to know God, there is some truths one needs to know. Anyone can read in the Bible and learn a great deal about God. But that does not cause them to know God. You just know about him. I used to work in a textile plant and a floor sweeper. That man could quote all kind of scriptures. And he was just a floor sweeper. And he was not even a saved person. And would acknowledge he was not saved. But he could quote all kind of verses in the Bible. So he knew what it said, but he didn't know the author of it. You can do that. There's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God, church. I know something about an airplane. I know one when I see it fly over, right? But I don't know a thing about how to fly, even the most simple one. In fact, I had a time making the little fly ones, you know. I'm afraid that today many Christians are so selfish, complacent, and worldly until the Lord is seldom even on their mind. So let me discuss with you some fundamental things that are necessary for one to truly know God. If someone truly knows God, it will change the way they live and life will never be the same again. God knows all about you and me, so we need to know the God who knows us. God wants the best life for every one of us in this room. God wants the best life for every person in this world. And God has a better life for every person in the world that live by this and that seek him. Think about what a transformed world this would be if everybody was living by this book and seeking to know the Lord. Boy, wouldn't we have a different world to live in? First of all, I want to tell you this. In order to know God, there's not but one way to know God. That's the first step in knowing God. You got to hear the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. The first thing one must know is the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it is. Without the gospel, there cannot be any salvation to anyone anywhere. That's why this is the only book that has the gospel. This book is the author of the gospel. Without the gospel, people only have a religion of some nature. That's the reason the Mormons are unsaved. It's the reason Jehovah's Witnesses are unsaved. It's the reason all the cults don't know God. They don't have the gospel. They don't want the gospel. We have a lot of people that want what they want. But it's a necessity. You got to hear the gospel to be saved. The Apostle Paul said about the gospel in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe." Only by the gospel is there the power of salvation. You can't be saved any other way. Good works, good deeds, education, good person, nothing will save you but the gospel. Someone may want to know what the gospel is. Well, fortunately, we have a record of it in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you ought to have this marked in your Bible. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." Do you believe Christ died for your sins? You believe you had sins? That was weak. You believe you had sins? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died the way the Bible said He would die. That's important. And that He was buried. They took Him down off of that cross, a corpse. Joseph of Arimathea, with the help of Nicodemus, and they put Him in Joseph of Arimathea's new hewed out tomb. He was buried. And then the Bible says He was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. The Bible said He would die for our sins, He would be buried, and He would be raised the third day. Jesus Himself kept telling His disciples that over and over. And that's what happened. That's the gospel. And you can't be saved unless you believe that. There's nobody else. You got to believe He died for you. Yes, sir. That you're that guilty party. That you're that lost soul. That Jesus Christ came and laid down His life for. So you could have forgiveness. And salvation. And live forever in His presence. Person don't believe that, they ain't going to be saved. Can't be saved. Because it's the gospel alone that's the power of God unto salvation. No other way. The Apostle Paul says the gospel relates to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, on the cross, God dealt with the sin of all the world by judging His own Son in mankind's place, my place. God judged His Son. His Son suffered the wrath of Almighty God against all sin on the cross. Because God hates sin so much, there was no way for God to overlook our sin, folks. Because God is holy, He can't overlook sin. People don't understand that. Some people seem to think, well, God's God. He can just, you know. It's like a Mama don't whip the children, or Daddy don't whip the children when they need a killing.
Amen, brother. Keep mine out.
God don't overlook sin. No sin. Even the sins of ignorance, God holds us accountable, folks. Nobody's going to come before God and say, well, I didn't know. That's no excuse with God. I'm talking about knowing God, folks. This is your first steps. And I hope everyone in this building has really heard this first step. Because if you don't know you're guilty, you can't be saved. You won't be saved. In 1 Peter 2:24, one of my favorite verses. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Listen to this. Who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. All we can do is sin, folks. That's all man does is sin. An unsaved person, they just sin because they don't know God. They're not under the blood. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That's not talking about physical healing as the holiness people try to use it. I believe in healing under the atonement. But that verse is not talking about physical healing. It's talking about our soul was healed. And when your soul is healed, it's healed forever. It's made a new person. When you that was dead in sin is made alive unto God by the power of the gospel and the work of the Spirit of God. Amen? Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I'm one of the ungodly ones. What about you? Yeah, you were. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man shall. Some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinning against God, Christ died for us. Now that's the love of God. And it's more than the love of God. It's the grace of God. Because he didn't have to do that. Because he loved us so much, he did it though. Amen? Isn't God good? God making a way for us to know him who were dead in sin on our way to hell? You believe you were on the way to hell? Just as sure as you're born. The God that made the world and all things in it loved man, who he created in his own image. Think about God made all of us in his very image. And when Jesus Christ came walking down the streets of Jerusalem, guess what he looked like? You and me. Now that's, think about, God made us in his own image. Let's talk about a sinner a minute. To be saved, every person must know they are a sinner. They're lost. I remember growing up as a young boy going to church, people used to say, I need to get saved. Revival time would come, people would go to church, I need to get saved. When was the last time you heard that? That somebody said, I need to get saved. You know what's happened? That's how much the spirit has been quenched in our country today. That's why there's no moving of the spirit in our country. Brother Junior was praying back there in the office a while ago with us. And he was praying, asking God to send the spirit in our country again. We need that more than we need a pay increase or the stock market to rise. We need a moving of the Holy Spirit in the church. And then the church is supposed to affect the world. A person who refuses to acknowledge they are a sinner cannot and will not be saved. They can't be saved. God's not going to save anybody against their will. Did you want to be saved? No. I didn't want to hear the gospel. But I was kept being brought to hear the preaching, and one day I said yes. I bet that happened to you too. Most of us got saved when we weren't expecting to be saved. Most of us. We all have broken the law of God. Just take a look at the Ten Commandments and see how many of them you've broken. And we all broke the first one. Look at the world around you at how people live and you know something is wrong. Man is a sinner. Did y'all hear about the woman that's in the news today? Took her three children in her car and drove it over a cliff and killed all of them. A mother. What about the mother that put her children in the oven and cooked them? We hear all kind of awful things that parents are doing to their children. People are sinners. People are sinners. Need salvation. Let me tell you something. Somebody might say, well, I wouldn't do that to my children. If the devil told you to, you might. If you're not saved. If you're not saved. The Bible says in James 3:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You might live everything in the Bible but one, but that makes you guilty of all of them. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Spirit of God wrote by the pen of Paul. All of us have sinned. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as but one man, sin reigned and entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. You want to know if a person is a sinner or not? Just watch, and eventually they'll die. The reason they die, we're all sinners. Some of us are just saved sinners. Even as a saved person, I have to say, Lord, forgive me. Because I fail. I'm not perfect. I'm trying, but that ain't good enough. People die because they're a sinner, and sinners need a Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. So to die without the Savior means eternal separation from God. That's a long time. Eternal separation is a long time. I often think about these people that they die lost. And they suddenly discover their predicament. And they can never change it. They can never change their predicament when they die without the Lord. And by man's standard, sometimes they're good people. By man's standard. Do you know you're a sinner? God says you are. Have you asked the Lord to forgive you honestly? sincerely. God is saving sinners by his death, burial, and resurrection of his only Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has paid for our sin, God says, if you'll accept my Son as your Savior, I'll forgive you, and I'll give you my Son's righteousness. You can't go to heaven on how good you are, because none is good. We can only go to heaven by Christ's righteousness. Nobody's going to boast before God about what all they achieved. No. We're only there because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, folks. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any person will realize I'm a sinner and ask the Lord to forgive them, and you accept Christ as your Savior, you're saved that quick. I think about the Saul of Tarsus on his way to persecute Christians in Syria, that same Syria that we're having trouble with over yonder now. That same city or state, and the city of Damascus in Syria. I'll get that right in a second. But Saul of Tarsus was there to persecute Christians. Before he got there, he met the Lord. And in time he saw the Lord, he said, Lord, and he was saved that fast. That's how fast you get saved, when you recognize you're a sinner and the Lord is the Lord and you call on him. I'm so glad we got such a Savior. Amen? Amen? Such a Savior. Sinners must repent. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted. To repent means to have a change of mind. You're going this way. That's the wrong way. Have a change of mind. Here's the way I'm supposed to go. This is the way towards Jesus. Amen? That's what repent is, a change of mind. You're going the wrong way. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Think about your sins blotted out. They won't be held against you anymore. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 17:30 says, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent or you'll perish, is the message from the Word of God. Talking about knowing God. This is the way to get to know God. These are the first steps, getting to know God. To repent means to have a change of mind. Romans 10:9-10, if thou should confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart righteousness, the Bible tells us. Do you see how simple God has made it for us to be saved? However, the devil is going to do all he can to keep a lost person from trusting Jesus as their Savior, because he don't want them to forsake him. Satan wants to hold on to every sinner he can, despite God, folks. He hates God. God throwed him out of heaven one day. Yeah. Satan does not care if people go to hell, folks. Satan don't care. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Paul said. So if any sinner will admit they're a sinner and need to be saved, can be saved by trusting Jesus as Savior. Our salvation is by faith. Believing on Jesus Christ will bring salvation to any person. Well, that gets us in a right standing with God. It makes us a child of God. But you know what? You still don't know a whole lot about God. You don't know him intimately. You just know you accepted Christ, and I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. Good. That's great. because a lot of people don't even go that far. But I'm trying to tell you. I'm going to tell you more next week. You can know God more. Because when you're at that state we just talked about, many times the devil will cause you to wonder, was I really saved? Did I have enough faith to get saved? Yeah, people wonder that. Are you someone like that here today? You just hope you're saved? Folks, the Bible says you could know you're saved. And it's the point of our messages the next 2 weeks. Believing, trusting, relying upon faith means the same thing. Listen to me. Believing, trusting, relying upon, and faith means the same thing. Those words mean the same thing. It means we are not depending on ourselves to be saved, but upon the Lord. We depend upon the Lord to save us, not what I do. Joining the church won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. Saying you're a Christian won't save you. How many people in Catholicism today think they're saved because mama and daddy had water sprinkled on them when they were born? And they think they're saved. They're not saved. You've got to be born again. That's a decision you make, not someone else. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. When you meet the requirements, know you're a sinner, hear the gospel, believe on Jesus Christ, God will save you. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. Nobody's going to walk up to God in heaven and say, Lord, aren't you glad how hard I worked for you and how much I done to get here? No, nobody's not going to do that. No. I think when we all see the Lord, we're going to be pretty humbled. Amen. I think we're going to be pretty humble when we see that Holy One, folks. Amen. But you know what? You know what? When we see him as saved people, we're going to see the most beautiful smile. The most beautiful smile. We're going to see the most wonderful face of love looking at us, folks. You ain't never seen a face, not even mama's face, like the face of love the Savior will have for all his children. Have you trusted Jesus to be your Savior? This salvation is a gift from God to you because you accepted God's Son. God loves His Son. And if you don't accept God's Son, you don't have no hope for eternity. 1 John 5, beginning at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Just believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior because you're a sinner. You can know you're saved. Have you did that? Really? Let's talk about knowing God just briefly as we close. Now, when someone believes in Jesus as their Savior, they're given salvation, and they become a son or daughter of God. Now they are in a position to begin to learn about God and know God in a more personal way. Now, none of us will ever know God fully. Paul said himself he was pressing on to know more about the Lord. But I'm just trying to get you enticed to know God more intimately, more personally. Have more reality of God. First John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner the love of God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are now sons and daughters of God by faith. But we shouldn't be satisfied to be there as just saved. That's not what we should be satisfied with. Each person starts out as babes in the Lord. But you know, sad, a lot of people just stay as a babe all their life. They never learn about the Bible. They're not faithful to a church. They just remain, well, I'm saved, I think. Right? We must grow by the milk and the meat of the Word. If we are to be a healthy and fruitful Christian. Did you know there's a lot of Christians, as God looks at them, he sees they're unhealthy Christians. They're poor in the nutrition they've took in by the Word of God. What I want to deal with in this section of our thoughts is going from knowing about God to knowing God more personally. First of all, you must want to know God. Do you want to really know God? Are you satisfied where you're at? Well, if you are, you won't ever progress. There came a time in my life, folks, I had to get hold of God. I had to. I even said, God, if you're there, I'm going to find you. I ain't stopping till I find you. You got to be determined if you want to really know him. And I went for I don't know how many weeks and days praying all night long. But I knew God. You must want to know him. A Christian may see God answer their prayers, but still lack the intimate knowledge they can really have. To really know God, one must get to the place where nothing else matters in life except to know God. Life is not worth going on unless I get hold of God. I've been there, folks. I'm not talking to you about something I read. I'm talking about what happened to me. You can really know God. And he wants you to know him. But you can't know him just to say you know him, for your selfish purpose. You got to know him because you need him. Because you need him. God is knowable, but to know him in a personal way will require prayer, 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 and a determination to know him. It will require a holy life. Live before a holy God 24 hours a day. I did not say a religious life. I said a holy life. Next week, we're going to move to the next step in knowing God. First, we must hear the gospel. We talked about it. Second, we must know we're a sinner. We talked about it. And thirdly, we must believe Jesus died to save us from our sin. We've talked about these today. Next week, the Lord allows, we're going deeper into knowing God more personal. God wants us to know him more personal. That you can enjoy him. Fellowship with him. He wants that intimacy with us. He wants you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior. Loving God, thank you for this time. Lord, we're just challenging your people here to seek to know our Father more personally. That we might draw nigh to God. The Bible says if we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. That's what you say. We must believe it. And then we must seek to take those things out of our life that displease you and put those things in our life that please you. That's that we seek to live for you and quit living for ourselves. And we thank you for these that's gathered here to hear your word today. And I pray you just challenge hearts. Give them hungry hearts to draw nigh to God. I pray in our Savior's precious saving name. Amen and amen. Today, our invitation is between you and God. What do you want? What do you want?